In this episode, you'll discover the one most important step to confidently expressing what you do want and what you do not want in marriage, thus helping you ultimately get what you want. So welcome in, heroic husbands, to the Be the Husband She Brags About podcast. This is your one podcast for learning everything you need to know to become the marriage-transforming hero of your relationship. The three specific benefits you'll gain by listening to the end of this episode are, number one, you'll start remembering how natural it is to simply express what it is that you want. Number two, you'll understand the easiest path to getting what you want is clearly expressing what you do not want, paradoxically. Number three, you'll hear about the biggest transformation in the podcast since I began 5 years ago. So stay tuned to the end on that. In this episode, like in pretty much all the episodes, we're taming the shame monster again. This time we're taming the shame of our sacred masculine wanting, and there might not be a more important topic for us men, us husbands around the planet to be discussing. The amount of shame that we have experienced on what I will say is our sacred wanting is catastrophic. Boys state, "I want." If you think of your children, I know boys or girls, but like early days, "Oh, I want. I want that, daddy. I want that toy. What I want for Christmas. I want food. I want that loud music to stop. I want to go." They're direct with their want. So as a boy, that's what you use. And yet, over time, we have been conditioned and convinced that it's impolite and indeed socially ignorant to be so direct with your wanting. Slowly but surely, we grow up and hundreds and thousands of impressions in social scenarios with our mom or dad, people around us, teachers, the elders of society who are shaping us into be graceful, functioning human beings, functioning in a profoundly sick society. What they condition us is that a gentleman should state, "I would like." It's conditional, you know, I would like this. I'd like to go. I would like to have this nice experience. I would like. It's conditional. I would like it if the world would be so good to meet me there. It's full of politeness. It's full of... yeah, politeness. I think it's actually the nice guy. "Oh, isn't he so nice?" Or, "He's a gentleman." I'll bring it to, I've come to get irritated with the use of gentleman, because I heard it so much growing up. "Oh, to be a gentleman. My beloved dad, good, good man, a solid man, a beautiful character, so well-meaning." It was very much put out there. It was like it was handed down from his dad to him and my dad to me, and it's, "Oh, to be a gentleman." And, you know, a gentleman doesn't say, "I want." "I would like." And then he politely, you know, doesn't get too upset if the universe says back, "I wouldn't really like to give that experience to you." Well, you've stated it as a gentleman, you know, "I would like." So if you get an equally polite statement from your wife, from the universe, from the world, from your bank account, from, you know, it's like, "I wouldn't like." Well, you've stated it so politely with so little commitment in your statement that you're not going to take it, you're not going to feel so bad in the chin when you don't get what you want, because you weren't very direct with the asking. When the universe doesn't give you what you want, you're not going to be so upset. So it's a win-win, you know. Ask tepidly, well, you're going to experience an emotionally tepid response when you don't get what you want, and you blink and a decade or two has passed and you're still not getting what you want, but you've set your wanting and the expressing of your wanting in such a way that you're not going to feel such a pain when you're not getting what you want. So it's useful, but we end up in married life, so many men are not getting what they want. And it's coming from this disease that is so, so all pervasively evident in how a boy will state, I want, and a man will state, I would like. I know you can think it's sort of grammatical, what would you call it? What's the word? Pedantry, like just this getting stuck in the details type of analysis. But the difference between the language of a boy and the language of the man really just points to that social disease that has crept in. It's like this cancerous poison ivy that is wrapping around men's sexual desire. And it's like the sexual energetic desire to penetrate the world to get what you want. Masculine sexual penetrative energy is not just sexual. It's really that energy that you have such a fiery wanting in you that it's like, I'm not going to stop at anything till I get what I want. You know, like even feel it there in my, even just speaking it in flow for this episode. My whole body gets excited. Like, I don't know if you can feel it, man. If I had a video on me now, my whole body is hopping. Because this fiery part, literally my visceral center has warmed up since I started speaking this. What wanting is, your sacred wanting, it comes from your desire to create a life situation that's better than you than how you find it right now today. And slowing down, not one of you are listening in to this marriage podcast for, you know, husbands who want your queen to brag about you. You're not listening in as a result of getting what you want. One of the greatest skills that I passionately believe every husband on the planet needs to fine-tune and hone is to learn the skill of expressing your wanting in marriage safely, directly, and without apology. There's one of two ways you're going to express your wanting, and I would say you're not wanting, but you express your wanting and your not wanting either consciously or subconsciously. You own it or you let it blurt out unconsciously. When you own what you want, it's safe and sexy as fuck for your queen. And safe and sexy doesn't mean that she doesn't experience an emotional intensity with it. Sometimes doesn't mean that she's going to receive it and go, oh yes, honey, well, of course you can get what you want. But it's safe when you own it. When you're not owning it, your body is transmitting a message where you're kind of like that resentful, regret-ridden boy. And you're semi-saying it. Or you're saying it, yeah, you semi-say it and then you're resentful to your queen because, you know, quote unquote, she hasn't given you permission for you to get what you want, or you say it unconsciously, not with no direct verbal, but you have this background story like she should just know that that's what you want. I mean, have you not told her enough? She knows that you need some time off. She should, and all the cognitive distortions come through your mind and through your speech at that point. She should know that I like that. She should know that I want that. She's always getting in my way. She never lets, you know, she never lets me do X, Y, or Z or buy that thing that I'm wanting to save up for. She mocks it, etc., etc. There's a shit ton of inner world and getting caught in our mind in the cognitive distortions, and we feel like we're a victim of it. And then what expresses in the outside world is your body is transmitting a message, but the message it's transmitting is that of a resentful boy that's just pissed off. And all you're doing is karmically creating a lot of regret because you're not getting what you want, and resentment because 99% of the time, we are in some way, shape, or form blaming our wives, blaming our married life for us not getting what we want. So, again, the foundational awareness that I want you guys really tapping into is resistance, which is fighting against what is, arguing against reality. The only byproducts of resistance long term are regret and resentment. When you have a resistance to owning what you want, and the other part of it is owning what you don't want, you can only create regret and resentment. And that's the, it might be the core central number one problem in marriages. The incapacity to own what one wants and what one does not want. So expressing it safely, directly, and without apology might be the number one skill set to develop as a husband. The flip side of owning what you want is owning what you don't want. There's a crazy magic that happens when you own what you don't want. When you know what you don't want, you are literally 90% to knowing what you do want. Slow down with that for a moment. When you know what you don't want, you know what you do want. If you reflect on that for a moment, I believe it's, you got to look at history to go, well, how powerful is this concept? When somebody gets clear by what they don't want, to then know what to do want. Let's consider for a moment Mahatma Gandhi. Gandhi's gift to the world started with him getting clear on what he did not want. Racial discrimination. He did not want that experience. And then he set about building a compelling future in what he did want. If you look at Gandhi the film, he got thrown off a train because he wasn't meant to be on that in that carriage. I think it was only for the white people in South Africa at the time. That's where he was based as part of the British Empire. He got thrown off, body slammed onto the cement pavement of the train station, and with great indignation dusted himself down and anger. So he got clear. He did not want to have that racial discrimination experience again, and that started building. And from what he did not want, birthed the vision to liberate himself and his countrymen and women from the British Empire and that colonialism that was happening in his home country. If you go to Nelson Mandela, his gift to the world started with him getting clear on what he did not want, apartheid, racial discrimination, very similar to Gandhi. And then he set about building a compelling future in what he did want, which was a society where people could be incorporated and all different races, religions could be, you know, living in harmony. You look at Rosa Parks' gift. Her gift to the world started with her getting clear on what she did not want, black segregation. And she did not want to be told to sit elsewhere in that bus. And then she started building a compelling future in what she did want. I will sit here in this seat and I will claim my birthright to be an equal in under the eyes of God. I think there was that level to her thinking, to her belief system. But as a free human being, she set about building that compelling future in what she did want. The main thing here is to connect with these seemingly larger than life historical figures and realize the exact same thing is at play in your marriage on a day-to-day basis. If any of you, and it's going to be every single one of you because you wouldn't be listening in otherwise, are not getting exactly what you want in marriage in the most beautiful sense possible, if you're not experiencing radical freedom and radical fulfillment, well then there is some part of you. And some of you mightn't resonate so much with not getting what you want, but if you're listening in, there's some part of you is still holding back. Probably a lot of it is subconscious desires that are held back in the shadow. Remember, the shadow is not a place that is bad. The shadow is in the subconscious mind. It's It's the part that's referred to in psychology as being where we have suppressed and repressed parts of our being. And when we repress and suppress parts of our being, that is, there's a sacred want to come true for all of those parts, and they are going to spill out. We've had so much, like, just on the topic of sexual expression, sexual desire and sexual wanting, we have en masse been so suppressed and savagely shamed out of our sexual expression as human beings that unless you're listening in and you have done a profound amount of explicit tantric sexual deep inner work on yourself and with your queen, there's a high chance that you're leaving a ton of your sexual expression, what would be authentically what you would want, beyond the conditioning of this profoundly sick society. You're leaving a lot of it stuck in your system. And it's not just sexual expression, it's expression of your authentic expression in the world, what you want to do in your job, how you want to be as a parent, how you want to express yourself, creative expression. So many guys deep down want to be an artist, want to be a musician, want to be doing a ton of things that has very little to do with their day-to-day job, because we have been in this profoundly sick society conditioned that it's only correct to want what makes you money. Which, I mean, some of the richest experiences as human beings, it's within the creative arts of music, of dance, of movement, and like of these, of a ton of different human endeavors and adventures that has nothing to do. It might not, none of them might bring you money back, but if you can't own what you want and own what you don't want, you don't get to have the most fulfilling and freedom-enriching life that's available to you. I don't know about you, but I don't want to go to the grave with a long, long list of regret in my system. I don't want to go to the grave. I don't want to live 1 week more with resentment with my queen. I don't want that. Really. Bottom line is, you will struggle to manifest what you want in your married life until you own what you want, and as I say, maybe more importantly, what you do not want. And the rub in that, and the beautiful, almost, it seems so obvious, but it's like this secret obvious. It's obvious when you state it. But that idea that when you know what you don't want, you know what you do want. 99% of the time, husbands that I'm working with, they get stuck and magnetized to the recognition of what they don't want. You ask the question, hey, what do you want? Guy could have been, you know, in a river of giving out and lamenting how bad his marriage is and how he doesn't get what he wants and blah, 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 blah. And then one question. What do you want in married life? And guys struggle to answer. Then my support with guys is very simple. It's like, I'll hone in on like some of the most emotionally intense things that they've been saying. It's like, oh, but I don't want, and I'm sick and tired, you know, whatever. It's like, oh, what is it that you don't want? And it's like, oh, I don't want her criticizing me all the time. And I don't want, you know, I don't want this sexual stagnancy to last. And I don't want, God, she's this or that. She's always giving you'll know the different list of things in your mind that where your awareness goes when you get into the what I don't want part of your nervous system. Well, the most obvious thing to do is you can alchemize all the what I don't want into what you do want with literally like 10 seconds of creative thinking. Oh, I don't want her to be criticizing me all the time, and she says she calls me horrible names. She's name called all the time, and I try to blah, 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 blah. It's like, okay, well, you know what you don't want? Well, what you do want then is you want your queen to use respectful behavior. You want both of ye to use kind, respectful wording when you're communicating. You know what you don't want? You know what you do want. Oh, I'm sick and tired. Like, I mean, she's not wanting to have sex with me. Like, there's 6 months, there's 12 months, it's 3 years, and we're not having sex, and I just can't take it anymore. And anytime I bring it up, blah, 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 blah. Okay. So what you do want is, I want to rejuvenate our sexual connection together. If you keep your awareness within the realm of what you don't want, I'm caricaturing it there, so it mightn't feel very natural, but you can feel that the from a vibrational perspective, when your awareness is in the area of what you don't want, your vibration, your emotional vibration is going to be quite low. It's going to be pissy, resentful, disappointed, upset, sad that you have to try so much, anger, might get to aggression, blah. It's a whole mixed bag of low vibrational emotional states. It's very, very hard to enter a conversation with your queen from there and actually have it become a conversation where she can meet you there. Where when you slow down and you alchemize what you don't want, and you work and you allow yourself go, okay, well, there's quite a bit of story there. And you'll probably, if you're honest within yourself, guys, you'll feel that there's quite a bit of icky, low vibrational energy in it. You'll notice the ickiness in the vibration of your emotional state from the wording, you know, the mental landscape, what your story is in your mind. If it's saying not so nice things, it's a low vibrational state that you're in. Your process is to alchemize what you've got fixated on in what you don't want, and then go, well, how do I alchemize that into what I do want? One simple line, this is what I want. And then you bring that to your queen. The challenge in this is you're on the bridge over the icy cold waters of heartbreak. You can camp out. I used that metaphor before. Some of you might be familiar with it, but we use the metaphor from an attachment theory perspective where you get on the bridge. The bridge is where marriage happens. The bridge is where deep, intimate connection happens. But it takes the courage for you to lead that dance as the masculine pole, to get on the bridge and lead that conversation. When you camp out with your awareness pulsating, marinating, regurgitating, you know, ruminating on what you don't want, you have taken yourself psychologically off the bridge. There's no vulnerability being there. You can camp out. You've left the bridge and you've retreated into your own psychological fortress. And that's where you can fling blame at your queen. You can shame her. You can put it on her fault. And then you'll have moments where you feel shame, where you're inadequate and you're not getting what you want, but you're really not on the bridge with your queen. And she can feel the inauthenticity of that. She can feel the lack of courage. And if we're being really clear, she can feel the cowardice in that. So she won't meet you there. She's not going to listen to you mumbling and grumbling and criticizing her and complaining over time that about, let's just go with the sex life thing. You bringing it up intermittently is, oh, but we're not making love, like, we haven't had sex in whatever amount of time, like, we have to do something about this. It's coming from a vibration where she knows you've retreated, you're not on the bridge, you're not there owning, so she's not going to spontaneously give you what you want. Where you walk up to the bridge and you go, baby, calmly, clearly, with calm assertiveness, I want us to rejuvenate our sex life. I want to rebuild our connection in the bedroom. And if the four horses of her apocalypse comes out in that moment, because in her human experience, she feels this is really challenging to hear. Maybe she has some history going back in her own sexual shadow. Maybe it's just she's had a really not so enjoyable relationship experience with you on this topic. When you bring up something that's deeply meaningful for yourself in such a grounded manner, there's quite the chance that it will reveal some level of resistance within your queen. There's quite the chance. And it's also true that if that does happen, she will rapidly calm down to the level of groundedness that you are displaying in the message your body is transmitting. She might need a few minutes to sit with the human experience of her own emotional reaction to you expressing your desire so calmly and assertively. It's been my experience, when you sit with the expression of desire and you sit with it without any apology in your nervous system, you know what you want, you know what you don't want, and you're here to express what you do want. You're not trying to force that experience on your queen. You're not trying to force her as like, meet my want now. But you're not making any apology for it. And you're not going to bow or submit to any backlash that she might have, any upset. She's not your mom. You were entitled for your mother to hold space for your human experience in a mature, grounded, adult manner where she wouldn't shame you on any part of it. And it's from the conditioning of shame that we had with our moms and our dads that we end up so on edge in owning our wants and what we don't want with our wives. But that's not on your wife. That's on your mom. That's on your dad. That's on the profoundly sick society that conditioned you 0 to 8, 9 years of age. The formative years where 99% of your belief system was set in place. So if you're finding it edgy to express what you want and what you don't want, none of that is on your queen. You may have like a long-standing, like myself, a long-standing experience of, call it a negative karmic, collection of negative karma with your wife because of your inhibition in expressing what you want and what you don't want. But ultimately, it's on your childhood. So you land what you do want, and you don't take any argument from her. She can't, no other human can tell you what you, no, you shouldn't want that. And the masculine practice is to own what you want and remain grounded and assertive in it. You don't fling any crap back at your queen. You just reassert. This is what I want. I know what I want. I know what I don't want. And I'm not going to allow you or anybody in my world make me wrong for expressing and owning what I want. You can follow up with her if there's an upset there. If your groundedness, maybe you weren't so grounded in the expression of it, but it's like, hey, baby, we'll circle back tomorrow. But I'm going to have the same wish, the same desire. I'm here to own what I want and own what I don't want. I love you. I want you to know what I want and what I don't want. This might be one of the most important conversations to have in marriage. And it's one of the key reasons why myself and my beautiful Queen Matilda, we are synergizing our forces. This is the big reveal I was talking at the beginning of the episode. The Be The Husband She Brags About podcast, and most of you guys know as the name being now, when I kicked off 5 years ago, I kicked off as the Kings of Freedom podcast. That was on the 11th of February 2021. It was mid-summer 2022 that the name transitioned to that what you now know it as in being it being called Be The Husband She Brags About. From the end of this week, the podcast is going to take on a new evolution. It's going to become known as the He Wants, She Wants Marriage Podcast. Some of the most popular episodes that I've done have been when I invited my beautiful queen, Matilda, on the show. And we are synergizing forces together. And we're really attacking with spiritual aggression. I like the word aggression, like when it's consciously used. With spiritual aggression, this topic of he wants, she wants. We're getting pretty damn passionate about owning what we want and what we don't want in marriage together. We're alchemizing all the regret and resentment that we both have had in marriage, and we're deeply committed together to creating a marriage where we get what we want, and creating a container between ourselves as husband and wife, and having regular conversations. We're having them all the time now, with radical, direct, calm, assertive ownership and expression of what I want, what I want from you, what I don't want from you, what I want in married life, what I don't want in married life, what I want in my financial life and what I don't want in my financial life. And we're having this beautiful, direct, black and white conversation, and it's just so intensely enjoying and freeing and fulfilling, and man, it's getting crazy. And we just feeling how liberating this intensity it is when we intentionally express these things, and we're getting to know more and more about each other more rapidly in the last 3, 4, 5 months that we've started practicing this than ever before, that it just makes rock solid sense to us to bring this to the world. We want to bring this to other couples in the world, because we've recognized ourselves that our only marriage issues have always circled around not being able to express directly what we want and what we don't want. And when we see the simplicity that's coming in our own marriage, we're like, wow, well, what if we brought that one central message to the world, and we supported couples around the world to own what you want and own what you don't want, and you know, through own curious truth, you can have a safe, repeatable process in conversationally bringing those two simple awarenesses to your marriage all the time. Over time, you get less of what you don't want, and you get infinitely more of what you do want. And both sides in the marriage get that. And what could be a more beautiful thing to gift your kids than, I don't know, liberated parents? Fucking in love with life, full to the brim with libido, with life, with enthusiasm, and theos, the God within, going, yeah, they're fucking getting what they want. Actually, the further into marriage they get, the happier they are, the more they're smiling, the more they're giggling, the more they're laughing, the more they're making rude noises there behind, you know, after like 10 o'clock at night, you don't want to be going by their bedroom because mom and dad are getting what they want. That's what we want for our kids, and we want to bring that topic to the world, to all couples out there. We really want to do this. And so keep an eye out at the end of this week. We're bringing it. Actually, it's going to be super exciting because we're transforming the podcast into a video podcast. Some of you, if you're listening in iTunes and other platforms, it's not going to be video, but definitely Spotify is going really front and center strong with video, and we're going to be entering into the YouTube arena. So we're really, really, really excited about that. So keep an eye out for that launching. Yeah, it's probably going to be the Friday episode this week. Really, really excited. So can't wait to hear tons of feedback for that. And yeah, welcome you all in. And it's going to be your queens into a more inclusive conversation. Badass kings one side, badass queens the other side, and coming together into, yeah, the synergy of that beautiful fire, masculine and feminine being represented both sides. Tons more details to come. We're super excited. It's going to be a radical transformation of what the podcast has been. It's going to only get better. We're still going to have radical masculine direct conversation soul episodes. We're going to have husband and wife together, king and queen, masculine, feminine, and there's going to be the badass feminine represented in solo episodes by my queen. So it's going to tick every single imaginable box, way better than it has thus far, and it's going to bring you guys together. That's all. That has always been my desire. It's the desire of Matilda. So watch this space. It's coming to you really, really soon. With perfect alignment with the mantra of what this movement has been thus far, better husbands today, better world tomorrow. Go have an amazingly beautiful kingly day.